Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy, Wise podcast. If you would like to listen in on thought-provoking conversations with countercultural thought leaders and experts in the fields of wealth, health, and relationships, the three keys to having what I call a wealthy, wealthy life, then this is the show for you. I'm Christina Wise, real estate investor, best-selling author of Falling for Money, and founder of Wealthy Wealthy, where I serve as your personal guide to money, health, and happiness. Welcome back. This is Christina Wise, your host. In this episode, I interview Bernardo Mendez. I was recently introduced to Bernardo, and I loved him so much, I asked if he'd speak at my most recent Wealthy Wealthy Live Mastermind. Everybody loved him. Why? Because he's an incredible, lovable soul who specializes in love and relationships. Can't we all use a little bit of help here? Bern is a relationship and dating expert. His specialty is helping women find the love of their lives in record time. Mentored by Anthony Robbins and certified as a strategic intervention life coach, Bern, as he likes to be called, helps women overcome tough emotional challenges that hold them back from attracting commitment-minded men. His work's been featured on CNN Money, HuffPost Live, Redbook, Yahoo, Shine, and Blog Talk Radio, to name a few. And with over 1 million views, his YouTube channel reaches over 80,000 women each month. I go vulnerable in this episode. I share my secrets when it comes to failed relationships. And his coaching back to me will fill a page of golden relationship nuggets. He shares the reasons why so many relationships fail, or worse, are unfulfilling, why so many good people are single and are not attracting another great, and how to be a better partner in a relationship that guarantees the other won't stray. If you need any relationship advice or know someone who does, then you'll want to listen in. Please enjoy my conversation with Bern Mendez. Bern. I love the name Bern, by the way. We adopted that name during the Wealthy Wealthy event. So it was so great to meet you. And thank you for being part of such a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it tremendously. And it was very eye-opening and insightful for me. So it's a life changer in many ways. So I'm very thankful that I got a chance to be there.
Yay. Well, I'm so excited for our conversation today. And the way I look at life in a way is like there's these three big buckets, if you will. Like there are these three categories of life that we don't have a choice to opt out of, meaning we have to be in these concerns of life. So in my opinion, why don't we work to get really good at them? Yet funny enough, even though there are these three major categories of life that, in my opinion, has a lot to, like how good we are at these three categories of life really has a direct impact on the quality of our life. Yet they're the three things we pay very little attention to. Like our common sense should just be enough to be able to master yes. these categories. And one is the health game. This, so I know myself included, I didn't understand the importance of health and taking care of my body and that there's, you know, I have to eat a certain way and I have to take care of my hormones and all these different things I wasn't aware of. And I broke my body and had a big health crisis. And that was my big wake up call there that, oh, there's things I didn't know that now I know I can do a better job at taking care of myself. So hopefully I don't run into that situation again. That was very unpleasant. Then this other game of life, because we have to get good at being healthy if we want to live long, healthy lives. Because what I learned when I was sick is that no healthy, no good life. So, and then the other category, which is my category, which is the money game. And money affects every category of our life. So, but again, money is very skill and knowledge based, yet we don't learn anything about it. We think that just our common sense, we make money, we go to work, the money will work itself out. So obviously that's my passion is to teach money and to help people get really good at it, to master the money game. And then the third category, which is your category, is relationships. And again, how much time do we spend? Like none of these life skills are taught in school. How much time do we spend to get good at relationships? And there's huge divorce rates. And even those that are married, I know very few people that are in marriages where they just rave about. So that's where I want to delve in. You're a relationship expert. And I know for myself included, wanting to get really good at especially romantic relationships is I want to know what I don't know about relationships to be able to attract the partner that my king that I want to attract to my life, as well as be a good partner to the person I'm in a relationship with. So let's just chat today. Let's talk about relationships. Sure. My first question is, what do you see from your work that is like the big missing piece? Is there one missing piece that, I know when it comes to money, there's just like there's a handful of missing pieces that people don't know, which sabotages everything for them. Is there the same thing with relationships where it's just like this don't know, this causing us to constantly bump up against being able to have a good relationship or even find one for, or attract one for that matter?
I think the answer to that is yes, Christine. And I resonate with what you're saying in the sense that just like in money, there's specific rules that allow you to get more money or don't get money, that allow you to increase wealth or just have an income without necessarily generating wealth for yourself. I'd say that the biggest, I mean, like not the biggest one, but the starting point for this would be the notion, just like with money, that it's the most natural experience in the world because you have that feeling in your heart. That should translate into why I should be able to be with someone and have an amazing relationship, best friendship, lovership, a spiritual connection, stars in our eyes for the rest of our lives, just because I have that feeling in my heart when I met her, when I met him. So I think the beginning of it is like that lack of understanding that there are specific ways of connecting with human beings and with yourself, and there's ways of choosing partners, and there's rules of the game that allow you to get into a relationship and sustain it. Because I think that the biggest piece first is, how do I find my ideal person? The second piece is, how do I make it so that it's a fulfilling experience instead of a shit experience going forward? You know, because you were talking about health and saying, well, health is one of those things that if you don't have it, like you wake up and it's a different experience. Everything you do in your life is different. If you have a bad relationship, everything you do in your life is different. The way you wake up, the way you interact, the way you accept a promotion, don't accept it, like it changes the game of everything. So because it's such a core part of our being, I feel like one of the best things we could do is start teaching human beings from an earlier age, is like how to read or write. What are the principles of entering a relationship and then sustaining a relationship and being happy in it, you know? And there's lots of misconceptions around it as well.
All right. Yeah. So that's a great starting point. And before we delve into this, what happened in your life, like that was the turning point for you that caused you to say, I want to, one, get really great at this relationship game. And then two, I want to teach it. I want to share what I've learned with others. Share a little bit of backstory. Tell us about Burn.
Sure. I mean, the first part, there's two different big moments that changed my life to be able to do what I'm doing right now. The first one was when I was early in my life. I was 17 at the time. I've always been super passionate. I've always wanted to have like strong, deep human connections. That's just from when I was like, I don't know, even 3 years old, I'm a passionate person. So by the time I was 17, I really wanted a relationship. I wanted to have a girlfriend. I wanted to create a strong connection with someone. And I found myself not able to do that. And I found myself, the way I was doing it, I was getting rejected left and right, day in and day out, to the point where I became really depressed. And it wasn't just like, oh, it's a teenage depression. I didn't want to be here, basically. That's how bad it got. And when my mom saw that I was like really, like it was like months of me being in my room, not wanting to go out, not wanting to do things, she sent me to see a mentor, you know, and I started learning not necessarily just about relationships, but how do you get yourself out of a funk? How do you get yourself from not being able to produce a result to producing a result in a short amount of time? And when I got that feeling in my heart first of I'm back, the person that I knew myself to be is back inside myself, and I can teach others how to live a better life, that was the beginning of it for me. At that point, it wasn't necessarily specific to relationships. It was just, well, maybe one of my friends is having a crisis of some sort, maybe eating disorder or something. So I started doing it that way. Then I started honing my skills by getting better and better at connecting with people who have bigger and bigger problems. Then if you assume a bigger burden, if you want to call it that, then the rewards are typically better inside. Like the fulfillment is better because you were able to change something. So that was the beginning of it for me. I practiced for many years in different circles. I created my own little events basically in Mexico where I was living. And then at one point, I decided that I wanted to teach this basically to the world. I was really scared of doing it. I was like doing what a lot of people are doing right now, which is having a job that is not fulfilling. There's nothing wrong with having a job. If it's not fulfilling, then something needs to change, right? And I had to go through my father's process of dying for 4 years, you know, and until he finally died in my arms, for me to wake up and recognize that if I don't do what I want, what I love, what I'm here for, I'm missing the mark. And I'm not doing justice toward all the suffering that he had in his life and everyone before him so that I have this opportunity. So I said, like, it's done. And I just started recording things. I started recording little videos here and there on YouTube and started connecting with people. And the beautiful thing right now is you can do it from people from around the world, and started listening, really listening to their problems. And I found out a commonality among problems, just like you probably have heard in your own realm regarding money, was like a relationship piece. And relationships for me are something that, although there are skills within relationships, typically they reflect something deeper within. There's something else that needs to be addressed for the relationship to be a fulfilling, healthy, wholesome relationship. So saying at that point, well, my experience is not necessarily helping women find love, which is what I do now, but it's helping human beings create change. I'm going to start applying it to this specific thing that I'm finding a problem. And I just started doing it and doing and then learning more. And until I find myself many years later, almost 10 years later, where I am right now, where I've had the blessing of helping, I mean, hundreds of women around the world to find their ideal person and keep him, you know, and be happy in that relationship. So that's like the backstory of why I'm doing this.
Well, I love that. And it makes me think that everything really is for the sake of great relationships, in my opinion. So what I've said before is, you know, yes, we have the health game and the money game, and we want to get good at these. We want to learn how to take care of ourselves, to love ourselves emotionally, spiritually, physically, so we can feel vibrant. We can have a lot of energy. We can enjoy fun. We can enjoy experiences that we can't do when we're sick. And then the money underwrites the cost of living a good life. Yet, if we're optimally healthy and we have $1 billion on a deserted island, yeah, it doesn't matter. So I just see we're in this chase of so many things, and we're going to get all this external validation and being in this silly, I don't know, measure up contest in a way. Yet we're really missing the piece of what is it all for? Isn't it all for to be in relationships, to have these experiences with people we love and we care about, and to be able to share love and act in love? And then when you have plenty of money and when you have great health and energy and these amazing relationships, it supports the amazing relationships. So I just see this relationship piece really is the most important piece, if you will, because the other two don't really matter if you have shitty relationships, in my opinion, and especially the love relationship. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about, first of all, let's talk to the single people listening. That, what do you say when it comes to dating and maybe even the differences between men and women? I think it's getting a little confusing. I talk to a lot of men these days. They're like, I didn't know how to act with women in a way, especially powerful women that are very successful and independent and they make their own money and they are healthy and they're energetic and these different things. And it's like they don't even know what to do because things have gotten a little bit confusing in today's day and age. And then what about the women where, you know, I know so many incredible, heart-centered, successful, vibrant, awesome women that are independent and single. And it's just hearing the conversation, it's like, where are all the great men out there type of thing? So what's going on in the singles dynamic? And is older adults, right? I mean, it's a different stage if you're in your 20s and starting out. But, you know, many people have had, you know, a divorce and they're single and their kids are almost grown or grown and that type of thing.
Well, I mean, there's so many things I could say about this. So let me structure it a little bit in my mind. Like the way I would start by saying that there's nothing wrong with being single. It's a great state of being, and it's a chance for discovery and sometimes rebirth and growth. I think when you're single and your inner being is healthy and you recognize that your life will be better with the addition of someone in your life, you're not attracting that human being to complete your, you're missing a limb, and basically that person will give you the arm that you're seeking, metaphorically speaking, then dating with purpose and consciously dating makes a big, big difference, right? Because I see a lot of human beings who are connecting with other human beings are not necessarily absolutely clear on what they want and clear on what they don't want. So because of that lack of clarity, and not just clarity, because you can be clear in your mind, but your actions are not stating the truth of your clarity of actions, you get what you really stand up for. So if you connect with, for example, let's say as a woman, you connect with guys who are not interested in long-term relationships, let's say marriage, and you are, then that's wasting of his time and that's wasting of your time. So I think that, and same thing for guys. If guys are going out there, some guys really know what they want and some guys are just wanting to fill that void, just like many women are trying to fill a void. So if dating consciously is one of the things that I highly recommend. Now, when you talk about, there's lots of women that you know of who are single, sometimes they've gone through terrible experiences before they're single. And there's still a remnant sometimes of that terrible experience that no matter how much intellectually you feel like it's gone, if it's still affecting you emotionally, you might be doing things against yourself that you're not aware of. I call a blind spot, right? A lettuce in your teeth that you're not aware of emotionally, that you're going around taking snappy pictures and you think, this is great, I'm smiling great, but there's this lettuce in your teeth that's preventing you from getting that casting call and being hired for that Colgate commercial. So when you recognize what that is, when you recognize what one of my mentors that I work with has this phrase that says, the most people's problems are an addiction to the payoff. And the payoff is sometimes a hidden thing that you get, like this independence that I get. If I were to get this guy, well, maybe I have to give away some of my time. Maybe he can tell me what to do, what not to do, even if it's not the case. But if you feel that way at some level, if that's stronger emotionally than the blessing that you'll get through his presence, then you'll find a way. I don't think that people self-sabotage. I think they self-protect. So you do things subconsciously to self-protect and connect with that person that you know before it starts that it's ended. That way you can say it's him, it's not me. My money's safe. My life is safe. No one's telling me what to do. I can fart in my sleep, for example. Like, no one will tell me that I'm doing something unkind. So I think it's, and the next piece, which is like, there's lots of human beings who are adults dating, but there's this inner child that's the one who's really doing the dating. The inner child who basically went through these relationships never got into past the kindergarten stage of how the relationships work. The fact that they were in a relationship for 20 years, if it wasn't a fulfilling one or a mindful one, didn't really increase their skill at relationships. So they're out there saying, well, I've been in 10 relationships so far. I should know it. No, you shouldn't. They've not been what you want. So again, taking the time to learn something, how to create what you want, how to be that resonant match to that partner that you're seeking. You know, I think here's what I feel. I feel the universe is very clear in actions. Because if you say, well, there's this crazy genius who's basically so smart, so gifted, so generous, and is always poor, there's a reason for it. I don't think the universe is unfair. And if you find that reason, sometimes I call it the big domino. If you find that big domino and you change it, then the game can change. But it's finding it sometimes that's hard.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Do you see anything like just the way we're living today? I mean, things, I know with money, for example, that
sure.
The way I teach money, it's that the more or less, again, the common sense or the way people tend to still act with their money is based on the industrial age. It's this old way that money, we used to have to organize around our money to survive in the industrial age. But now money is very different. Money is very abundant and we have a lot more control and opportunities. And yet a lot of the doctrine out there is still teaching people this old way of thinking that served people well back then, but it just doesn't serve people well now. So do you see that? Like, things are changing so fast now.
Yes.
What do you notice as far as dynamics changing and how is that clouding our ability to connect?
Well, it goes back to what you were saying before, Christina. It's like men and women don't necessarily know anymore how to connect with each other. Am I being too kind or am I being too much of a wimp? Am I pushing myself too hard on her or am I not being as masculine as she wants me to be in her presence? So I think there's that thing where, okay, if you think about how relationships happened for many, many years throughout history, they weren't necessarily the most fulfilling. They were more convenience-based than love-based. And right now we have the opportunity for the first time in history to create something that's completely based on what we want, not so much what we need. And because of that, I think that there's this thing where you're saying, okay, well, I mean, like, for example, you're a successful woman. You don't need a man to open your door, but probably you prefer if he does and if he doesn't. You don't need a guy to ask him pay for your dinner. You can do that 10 times over. You can even pay for his dinner, but you probably prefer if he's asking you out and paying for dinner, you feel taken care of. So it's like, how do you reconcile the fact that you can be powerful, intelligent, and very successful with the fact that your inner heart has needs biologically and even spiritually sometimes that may not be in accordance to a doctrine of what you know you have to do to be successful and independent. And it doesn't mean that you have to be at the mercy of the guy or that the guy has to be the boss of you in any way, like sometimes in the past that's taken place. It means that if at your core you have an essence that's feminine and the guy at his core has an essence that's masculine, is how do you create a synergy where you're both benefiting from your strengths versus your weaknesses and where you both feel like you're living your essence. You're not necessarily having to force yourself so much. Sometimes there's things that you have to force yourself to do in any relationship, but that you feel like the way you're showing up in your life is in accordance to the way your heart is set and your biology is screaming out to you, so that it feels more flowing and it feels less like you have to work so hard at just the basics. You know, there's always working relationships. Don't get me wrong. There's also this thing right now where a lot of human beings are seeking pleasure. They're not seeking a relationship. They want the fulfillment of their own selfish needs mostly. And a relationship, which is most people don't like to hear this, is sacrifice. It's responsibility. And it's those things that it should be fulfilling, but the fulfillment doesn't just come from like it's pleasure all the time. It comes from giving, it comes from serving, it comes from doing things sometimes you don't want to do. I mean, you're not breaking your morals or anything, you're doing some things that are in accordance with your values, but still things that you prefer to do something else. And then it's a give and take. Sometimes your partner will do things that maybe he doesn't like sushi, but you love sushi and fuck it, it's Friday night, you'll go have sushi, you know. so yeah
absolutely. Well, I know what I found for my life when I look back, and I'm single now, and it's like I've had these two categories, because now, granted, I've done a lot of self-work. So probably for the first time in my life, through my own wound healing and different things, I'm okay being single, right? Like I'm good with that and I'm solid. I'm not trying to fill a void anymore. I'm not trying to complete something. I've healed my fear of abandonment. I've healed my fear of being alone. And so walking in those shoes now feels very differently. And that's work I needed to do to be able to, you know, attract and get clarity for the man that I want to be with.
Sure.
Prior to that, I think because I hadn't really healed those things, there was a part of feeling a void. But what I found myself when I was in relationships, it tended to be either or. One, either because I'm strong, I'm powerful, independent, these type of things, you know, those things, and that, you know, don't need a man in to take care, to pay for things, or, you know, that type of thing, that I've either attracted relationships where just by naturally being me, I just more or less walked all over them, right? Without wanting to. It's not like I was that way. I mean, it was very kind and loving, but at the end of the day, like he couldn't be the man I needed because it's like he wasn't strong enough or something. And so naturally there was just it was out of order or something. Then I would find that didn't work for me. So then I would find somebody that appeared to be very strong and the type of man that I really needed and wanted, but then they just were a bully. Or were semi-abusive or something like that. Like, and so it's like this either or, and it's like, no, I want a king. I want a masculine man that's strong and powerful and solid and, but loving and kind and generous, but that real masculine energy that really out-masculines me in a way. And I want the protector provider. Don't need it, but I do want that. You know, I want to feel that masculine protection. So it's been this interesting dynamic in my life when I look back over the history of my relationships of this either or type thing without this, I don't know, this blend, if that makes sense.
So here's what you're talking about, right? A reality, which is, I mean, getting that which you're seeking is harder than getting one of the other extremes, right? Because there's going to be that alpha male who basically, you don't even want to connect with him. He doesn't take no for an answer. He's just, hey, come talk to me. Like, there's going to be that type of super alpha, let's call it douchebag, right? And I mean, it's gross characterization. Maybe there's some goodness in there. And there's going to be that guy who maybe is asking for permission to perhaps hold your hand when you're just saying, fuck me. Can I hold your hand? Like, no, we're past that. Go forward. So there's that in-between space is harder to create, but it's doable. Now, like the thing that I found is that once you're clear on the type of values that you're seeking, then knowing that it's going to be hard, but that the effort is worth it, is such a key part of this, because what I see sometimes is here we are seeking the most fulfilling, arguably, experience of humanity. And sometimes the third, fourth attempt, like, oh, okay, it's not going to work. And we're, for anything else, we'd actually go 150,000 times. For our businesses, we would. We wouldn't take no for an answer. We'd take maybe 17 loans to make it work when it's not working, and then until it works. But for relationships, sometimes we don't do as much, or we give up sooner than we need to when we're closer to getting what we want. So part of it is saying, okay, there's no if about, I mean, it is freaking hard to create this relationship. But it's worth it, because it's not just getting the relationship, it's who you become in the process of attracting that human being and stepping into that relationship is the spiritual journey that you're on right now. It's part of the spiritual journey. It's so much easier to say, I can meditate in the top of Mount Kilimanjaro and feel at peace with God than it is, I'm going to be in the middle of a new relationship and feel the same way. That's way harder, because it pushes all your buttons, all the things that, even things you've healed, they may come out and just try to mess with you a little bit, right? To make sure that you're really where you need to be. And it's human nature to go for comfort versus growth. So if we want a different type of relationship right now that has so much more that at any point in history, we need more skills and we need more determination and we need to be able to go the distance even when things don't work.
Yeah, thank you. That's really well said. I love the comment, comfort versus growth. And a friend of mine, John Howard, he said, you know, part of what's going on too is that it's great that we're on these independent spiritual journeys. We're going on the ayahuasca retreats. We're reading the books. And individually, we're really working on this growth piece. And then he said, but when it comes to relationship, the only way to be great at a relationship is to be in a relationship. So, you know, because these things come out, like you can go on these journeys individually and think that you're all, I don't know, working, becoming more enlightened in these different things. But yeah, to succeed in a relationship, it's practice. You're getting in the relationship. Sure. It is the give and take. And then it's the feeling of love and fulfillment, but that there's the act of love as well. So it's being able to receive love and be a good receiver of that, but then be a great actor. Like, what are the actions of love? As what are we doing to act in love so the other person feels listened to, seen, heard, and understood? And then for us to be in a relationship where we feel seen, heard, and understood. And then with a desire to fulfill the other one and vice versa, but not needing the other one to be fulfilled. So it's this crazy combination of these things that make it more complex than maybe what we think it should be.
Yeah, because when you start creating that connection with someone, you will feel very different than when you're not. And the feeling can be so intense that it mimics the feeling of having a rush of heroin in your brain. It's the same activated center. It's very similar. So if you're not aware of it, then it can come to a point where if it's super intense, that things are happening that are not necessarily healthy or helpful. And I've seen this in so many of the cases that I've been able to guide and help. There's like, my brain says I shouldn't be here, but my heart is like, there's no way. I need my heroin right now. Give it me. You know? So it's being able to see that love has, you have to be willing to lose yourself and be willing to pull yourself back if you're losing yourself, right?
Yeah,
it's like you have to be willing to go the distance.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I found myself in my last relationship is I even said that. I said, it's like I'm on heroin. Like, this is a bad relationship. I'm being treated horribly, but I'm allowing it. Like, and then I started feeling bad about myself. Like, why? What does it say about me that I'm allowing this and putting up with it? And even like still like trying to make the relationship work or taking more responsibility, thinking, oh, I've got to save this. I've got to save this. And it's like, even though things were horrible, it's like, I still wanted that little heroin dose. And it felt that way until I finally was like, enough is enough. I've got to break the heroin. This is an addiction or something that I have to stop. And I need to go get help. And I actually got a lot of help, just probably like an addict in a way. And I'm seeing this publicly. This is actually very vulnerable in a way of I had to do a lot of self-healing because I thought, my God, like my self-worth plummeted down to nothing. Again, someone strong and independent and successful and loads of self-worth was dwindled down to nothing. Like, I didn't know who I was anymore. And that's crazy. It can happen in a relationship. I found it fascinating. At the end of this thing, like, I didn't know who I was anymore because I molded or became somebody that I wasn't. Do you see that frequently,
yeah,
or is it?
I see that happening, and it's one of those reasons why, for example, when you say I got help as if I were an addict, that's exactly what it is. It's a law of addiction at some point, and it doesn't mean that you're going to be that for the rest of your life. It just means that there's. It's like advice that's not specific is bad advice, because you can say to someone, you need to sacrifice in a relationship. Well, if you take that, well, I need to sacrifice, this guy's not good to me, I need to sacrifice more. Well, it's not. That's why specific advice in your unique situation makes a difference, because someone can look from outside and say, this thing is absolutely unhealthy. It's not out of it. But you might not be seeing it. But when somebody says it in that language with those many words and gives you some tools, then you can take action. So it's one of those things that requires a lot of humility, right? But the humility brings about a new possibility. It's like when you close one door, you have 1,000 other doors that can open, but you have to close that one door. And sometimes leaving that door a little crack open is still open. It's still an open door. And when you close that door, then you have more possibilities. You know what not to do. You can heal. It's a journey that will help you. It's a lesson that will continue giving you fruits for the rest of your life if you choose to see it that way. And you're taking that approach that I think is more fulfilling and more healthy than saying, because there are a lot of human beings go through what you went through and said, this is it. Love is not in the cards for me. And I'm not going to put myself out there anymore. And there's a lot of people even hearing right now this conversation that maybe at some point in their lives or even now have said, it's not in the cards for me. It's not in the cards for me. It's equivalent to saying, well, I want to become a doctor. I read a couple of comic books about doctor medicine. I didn't become a doctor, so it was not in the cards for me. No, there was like all these things you could have done to become a doctor. You just for whatever reason chose not to. So it's. I take it if it's not in the cards for you, you've done everything you can to get it and you don't get it at the end of your life. But my belief is that most human beings who do what they need to do will get it. It's just the price to pay may not be a small price to pay.
Yeah, and what I believe also is like, yeah, we all wanted the feeling of being loved, right? There's that great feeling like, wow, this person really loves me for who I am. And you know, so there's that sensation or just that feeling of feeling loved, which is, like I said, it's
amazing. A biological need for your survival. If you don't feel if you don't get love from your mom, you die. So it's built into your DNA. So the fear of losing love is something that, as great as you can work, you become the Dalai Lama, you will never lose for the rest of your life, because it makes it right. Maybe if you're a psychopath or something, you don't have it. But most human beings have that thing built in because it's a survival mechanism. Now you can tame it, you can make it better, but it never goes away.
Yeah, so there's that, and there's the feeling of loving, which is so beautiful, just to love someone and want to take action that the other person feels loved, right? There's the beauty in loving as much as there's this great feeling of being loved, and it's that yin-yang, it's the combination of those two, which I would find, you know, is...
It brings out the best in you. Yeah. There's a human being that you are when you are loving someone that you are not when you're not loving someone. So it brings out parts of you that would not come out and would not grow to the level they need to unless they're needed. I think life works that way. There's certain things that you will never develop until you go through the problem that pulls it out of you. Love is in a positive way the same thing. There's things, parts of you that you would never get to know until you're in that type of relationship that allows you to be yourself.
Yeah, in fact, I'd even say if I really connect to what I'm feeling in my heart right at this moment, it's like, absolutely, there's a desire that I'm in a relationship and I want to feel that feeling of just being loved for, you know, for Christina. I think what I want more, miss more is I just want to love somebody, you know, just want to love them, right? Just like, that's a piece like, oh man, like, won't that be fun when I can act that, because that feeling is just so profound for me, the feeling of loving someone and having that piece. It's not like it's missing. I mean, my life is great the way it is. I mean, I love my life right now and all of that. And so I'm just full of love. I've just reached a place where I just love and feel love and like walking in that. And I can't wait, maybe it's another way to like, wow, when I find my partner, I can't wait, because it's like that, I don't get to do that right now, right? That's that piece of me that I just know it's just like juicy.
It goes as deep as there's no end to how deep it can go. There's friendship love, which is beautiful and loving, and there's boundaries within that there's a part of you that you won't go all all the way in with your partner, you go all the way in. There's no stops. There's nothing like, well, I should stop here. It's a little too much. There's not a little too much. You can just express yourself. And it's like almost expressing everything to expressing everything. And that little difference makes a big difference. Yeah, there's good. No holding back.
That's really good. So what are some of the principles you mentioned? Can you give us some of these few love or relationship principles? Like you said, the lettuce and the teeth that we're just not aware of, that because we're not aware of, we're self-protecting or self-sabotaging away without any clue that we're doing so, because we're betraying these principles that we don't know exist.
Do you want to hear something regarding attracting someone? Because I think there's principles there, or something regarding being in a relationship and making it work.
Let's do both. Let's start with attracting.
Okay. I think I've been thinking about this recently, and I think the world sometimes seems unfair if you don't know the rules, right? It's like saying, well, this, I mean, we could get into a tangent here about money and all that stuff. There's a small minority of human beings who have a large majority of the wealth, and some of it would be like, yeah, their parents had it, and some of it is not. Some people were born with nothing and created everything with nothing. So in the same thing, I think that attraction is one of those things that is misunderstood. First, because people feel if I'm attractive, I should be attractive to everyone, and it's not necessarily the case. You should be attractive to the people who are resonant with that type of vibration that is a match to them, right? The second thing is that, for example, you as a woman, you will get disproportionate attraction based on your radiance. And what that means is that if you're not radiating at all, you get zero attraction, you get pain, no invitations, no one looks at you, no one asks you out, not even on a website. If you have a mid-level of radiance and flow and connection with yourself, I'm not saying that looks are not important, but radiance outmatches looks in most cases long-term. Short-term, maybe there's attraction just with looks, but radiance basically can outdo in the marathon of life, radiance will win. Mid-level, you're playing at mid-level, you also get pain. You're saying, but I'm doing more, but you still don't get anything. If you're rating at the highest level, you get all the fucking options. You have all the guys who want to open your door, invite you, ask you out, can't wait to spend time with you. And there's a few women who are getting all the attention, all the attraction, all the thing. And a lot of people here are playing the bachelor, trying to fight for this one guy when it shouldn't be that way. There's plenty of guys who will be connecting with you if you're playing at that level. So that's the first thing I'll share. Because it's unnecessary. I mean, like, changing your age is not necessary. Changing your weight is not necessary. Of course, take care of yourself. I mean, do something where you feel self-love. But beyond being self-love, I think we're a culture that are doing the wrong things to get to an outcome. We're doing too many things chemically and just surgery-wise that don't really make a big difference when it comes down to if a guy sees you, he feels you, he's attracted to you. There's something well beyond his physical understanding that makes him want to do whatever it takes to own your heart. So when you play life at that level, you have more options. So that's what I would say regarding that. I mean, regarding men, if there's men listening to this thing, is you will stand out like right now because there's lots of guys who are ambivalent about what they want. Be clear about what you want. Be very, very clear about what you want. Don't be ambiguous. Omitting information is the same thing as lying, really, when you're dating. So if you're not interested in children, and she mentions children, just say, dude, like, I'm not interested in children. From the first date, so that there's no second date if it's not necessary, versus like, well, I'm going to hold it, and then 17 dates after you've made love and now she's attached to you, and you say, well, I really don't think I want children, when you really don't. Like, just be clear upfront, state what you want, and take the role of initiating. Like, don't wait for her to text you. Don't do it 50-50. If you want to ask her out, ask her out. If you want, if you feel like it's just own the process, lead, and allow her to enjoy the process of being taken care of through this. She'll enjoy it. She'll enjoy it way more than if you're playing games. Like, just go for what you want. Now, in terms of sustaining the relationship, something I'll share right now that would mean, it's like, it's just that understanding that there is no magical relationship. I think that the utopia of I'm going to feel in love every single day of my life, there's going to be no problems, doesn't work. There's going to be lots of problems, but if they're of the healthy kind, then they're overcomable. If they're unhealthy kind, then there's a different situation or different conversation that needs to be had about it. I think that there's going to be, we also get to feel that we have to be the exact replica of the person that we're with. And we even have to work together and do the same things and try, like, I don't think that's necessarily a thing that sometimes attraction gets reinforced when there's a little bit of distance sometimes. Not that you have to create it fakely, but when you're able to do your thing and she's able to do her thing, you come together and there's this, I've missed you. I want to connect with you. If you're doing everything together, just by nature, I mean, it's going to wear off a little bit. There's most successful couples in the world, and these are tons of studies that have been done about this, have lots of irreconcilable differences, right? Meaning, like, you're never going to see eye to eye on certain things. It's not a problem as long as those things are not showstoppers for you. And I think people need to understand, they need to get clear on what's a showstopper for them in a relationship and what's something that's workable, you know? And everybody's different and unique. Some people say, well, if she cheats on me, it's a showstopper forever. Some people say, well, I might look at it and maybe work through it. There's no right or wrong, but you need to know what those things are for you so that you can navigate relationships without feeling like, well, they sold me this bill of goods. They told me that everything was going to be great. And it's not always great, but not just because of the partner, because of you. Sometimes you've lost connection with yourself. Sometimes there's times of the relationship that are more intense and you lose the things that you started doing when you fell in love. And when you start losing those things, you stop going to the gym because that maybe you just don't anymore. You stop going to with your girlfriends to do fun things and things start lacking. So then you start putting all the weight of the entire tribe of the world onto your partner. And when your partner becomes your world, that's the beginning of the end, because no one human being can be your world. You need to continue doing what you were doing before, include them in some of those things, cohabitate, do cool things together, but never lose track that you're still an individual and that there's things that you need to do on your own for yourself that are going to benefit the relationship. And some of those things he may not like, but they're still necessary for the relationship. Something else that I found that is incredibly game-changing for relationships is most human beings, we have been trained to look for what's not right. So you did 10 things for me today that were amazing, but this one thing I'm pissed off about. So I'm going to talk about that one for 30 minutes before saying, thank you so much for looking at me this morning. Thanks for the embrace you gave me. Thank you so much for that thing you did yesterday. Like, without appreciation, like, when you lose appreciation for your partner and you start looking at what's not working, again, that's something that will destroy. And I see lots of relationships that way. They've created this safe dynamic, safe because it's comfortable, where they mostly refer to each other talking about what's not working. Even like, you can even be super positive and healthy and just be looking at what's not working and just working on that thing without really enjoying the 25 other things that are working. So I'm not saying don't work on things, but don't do the crazy thing because you are growth oriented, where you just want to do the next thing that makes this better without giving him or her the appreciation for everything they're doing for you. So those are a few things that I think make a difference right now, but I'm happy to go deeper on anything.
Those are all really good. It makes me think, like, one thing I teach about money is that very similar, like, it's a relationship. And so I ask, what's your relationship with money? Is it an avoidance relationship? What's going to happen if you avoid your partner? Yeah. Is it a relationship that it's more negative, that you're just pointing out that there's not enough all the time, as opposed to being grateful for what is? So it sounds very similar, that the money attraction and the relationship with money is very similar, that we need to love our money, be grateful for what is. It doesn't mean that there's not more growth that can be had, but versus always living in this place like it's not enough or it's not good enough. How about saying, I love you for what you are and what you do for me today, and how much we have together and how much we appreciate each other. Now, where can we continue to grow together? Where are some places for growth? Not like, here's the problems, or it's not enough, you're not good enough. So similar?
Yeah. So one extreme would be that, I mean, you're always bringing up things that are negative. The other one would be where you're afraid of stating what you want. So you wait and wait and wait until it becomes its Godzilla with 75 heads. And now it's too late to address it. So another thing. So yeah, if human beings are falling more on the edge of keeping their fear and insecurity and pain to themselves, like, bring it to the forefront early and often. If you can't have a relationship where you talk about things that you care about, then it's not worth being in that relationship. So, because a lot of people say, well, if I bring it up, I'm going to lose it. If you bring up something important to you and you lose a person, then it's the right thing to do. Losing that person, if that's really all it took, you're sharing something that's really important to you, that now there's a way to communicate it, right? Of course, that will facilitate that person leaving or staying, you know. But if for the most part, if you're sharing things, here's what I'm feeling right now. This is what we need. Can we talk about this? Or tell me how it is for you without assuming ill intent, but also without not bringing it up. Like, hey, yesterday when you said this joke in front of my friends, here's what it felt like. Can you tell me a little bit more what it means to you without saying, dude, like you're an a-hole? Just take one step back and say, I'm not sure what the intent was. Here's the effect. So the effect is important. But can you tell me more about why you did that? And maybe that person then recognizes on their own without you pointing it out, yeah, that was a shitty thing to do. I'm so sorry. I won't do it again. But if you just start with the attack, then we tend to deflect when somebody attacks us just as a natural survival mechanism. Like, no, it's not true. It's not me. But if you're more open, more vulnerable about it, then provided that you have a healthy human being that you're with, right? And that's why the process of getting to know someone before you go all in, and going all in doesn't just mean marrying that person, becoming exclusive even is important. Having sex with that person, like developing a friendship with that guy or that woman before you become exclusive is so important, because otherwise you're going to believe what you want to believe about them. And then you're going to slowly realize that it's like the best day was the first day you met them, when you create this hallucination of who they are. And then it slowly starts getting worse and worse. But when it starts getting worse and worse, you're already an item. You're a couple. You've introduced them to your friends. You've taken two trips together. I mean, like, and then it's way harder to leave that human being. So take longer to meet that person, and don't be exclusive with anyone until you find that human being that is the resident match, meaning date multiple people at once. I mean, I'm not saying sleep with multiple people, but connect with multiple people until you find that resonant mesh.
Yeah, and that's something like the having distinctions is that, again, in money, a big thing that I teach is having distinctions. Like, you know what certain words mean. Like, what does the word income mean? What does the word wealth mean? What does the word passive income really mean? What does freedom mean? Like, give definition, distinction, where you know exactly what these words mean, so you can act according to the meaning. If it's nebulous, if we have an assumption or a feeling, but we can't articulate it, we really don't know what things mean, which means we can't act to create a certain effect or result. And one of those words, like you said, is like, what is dating? You know, what it just, again, it gets a little confusing. Is dating just going on Match and dating and going so that the whole idea of dating, sure, isn't to be exclusive. The idea of dating is to go on dates, I think, to see, is this person a match? And how many dates, or how long to quote unquote date, does it take to actually discover this compatibility and values and what's important, and to experience each other in different types of situations? So to your point, like, how often are people, they're just not, you know, there's maybe just going out for sex and hooking up and that type of thing, that's not dating. Sure. There's nothing wrong with that if people want to do it, but that's a certain pleasure or desire one's going through. But the act of dating, to date maybe several people, like you said, at one time, is to start experimenting. Like, what is important to me? What isn't? And spending time that, you know, one of many might end up being exclusive. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. The principle I would start with would be, okay, start with the end in mind. So what ultimately do you want to experience? Not just in terms of, okay, I want to find a husband. That would be, that's clear and specific, let's say. But here's the qualities that I want in that person, and here's who I want to become in the process. Once you're clear on that, not losing sight of that, then the dating process becomes a spiritual journey that also gets you to that destination at some point. And the thing about the being clear on that is that you're going to connect with people who have a different definition for what dating is. For some people, it's just, I just want to find someone who's I can spend time with. Well, I mean, nothing wrong with that if you just want to spend time with someone. But if you want something more, you want to hear that before you even go on a date with them. Like, if a guy asks you out, hey, I would love to take you on a date, say, sure, would love to talk to you a little bit before we go on a date. Great. Have a conversation. And ask him this question: what are you looking for in a relationship? Well, I'm not looking for a relationship. Great. Let's all go on a date. Like, because even though you're not necessarily saying, I want you to be my husband and please give me 10 children, what you're saying is, if we're both going to the destination, then I'm willing to explore. It's a risk that I'm willing to take. If we're going to different destinations, I'm not going to waste my time right now, because there's plenty of other human beings who are looking to go to that destination. And even that is not secure or anything, but that's less risky than this thing right now.
That's so well said.
So, yeah. And I think that there's, for example, I hear from lots of women who are afraid of asking those questions early on because they feel, well, I'm going to put pressure on him. If asking him what he wants is putting pressure on him, then sweet Lord, I mean, like, what do you expect? If he doesn't know what he wants, what makes you think that he'll develop it through just connecting with you? Can it happen? Yes. Will it happen? 9 out of 10 times it won't. So just ask him first thing.
Yeah. To your point, like, I don't want to waste my time. Right. I mean, this, you know, this isn't a dress rehearsal. This is real life and time and experience. Correct. And so absolutely, like, why would we not want to find out things very quickly? Because cut it short if it's pretty clear that the values are misaligned or the outcome Correct. Or the, you know, the long term is different, then yeah, like, all we're doing, unless we want, quote unquote, to date or a relationship for different reasons, then
yeah,
it is just so a waste of time.
Being really honest with yourself. I mean, if you say I want long term, be clear. Does that include marriage or not? It makes a difference. It makes a difference as to who you date, and also makes a difference in the quality of your relationship. So if you're ambiguous about it, you may or may not get what you want. If you're clear about it, then you'll have people that will naturally fall out of the scope of what you want. But it just, if you don't go on 75 extra rabbit holes, you're cutting down your curve by, I don't know, maybe 3 years just with that one thing. So the biggest thing that I love to share is, like, when I help someone, for example, I don't work with women who could have not gotten love. I just feel like I help them get it in a much shorter amount of time, and I get them a different kind of relationship than they would have gotten on their own. That's it. But love is something you can get. I mean, I joke with my clients. I mean, you don't want a boyfriend. I mean, if you want, I just put on a tight skirt, go to the bar, you get 5 boyfriends tonight. You want something way deeper than that. And that something deeper is going to require more skill, more heart on the line, more setbacks also sometimes, but also more fulfillment at the end. Like, the reward is commensurate with the effort many times. And if the effort was great, but it was a healthy effort, not I'm running around in circles calling it effort, then it's something that allows you to grow. If you're just running in circles like a hamster, like a loveless hamster wheel, then that's when you get disappointed. And that's when you say, well, I've done everything. No, you've done one thing 75 times, 10 years. Chosen the same guy 3 times with different face. You know,
like, so true. My goodness. I'd like to circle back to the word radiance. It's such a good word. So how do you define radiance? Is it something, is it just an expression and like just an energy, an expression of just like, I radiate love, I radiate.
It's an expression of your being. It's a natural expression of, in your case, would be your feminine core. It would be, I am connected to the truth of who I am. And I am removing the obstacles that prevent, because it's not that you have to become more radiant. Typically, is that you have to remove the shit that's blocking the awesomeness of you to shine. And sometimes that's fear. Sometimes that's movement. Sometimes there's belief. Sometimes there's past wounds. But once you free yourself from that, radiance would be that magnetism and force that you emanate that is, a man can feel from 3 miles away. I mean, you can enter a room and every guy has this radar inside. He's feeling all the time, whether he's aware of it or not, who is the most radiant human being around me. And they're going to naturally, whether they want to or not, whether they're 3 years old or 75 years of age or 80, they're going to radiate. And it doesn't mean that they're going to have to take action or ask the woman out, but they're going to giggle like a little child without being able to stop themselves. Why? Because it's just like, it hits them in the heart. We're seeking for that. Like, we leave lives in our minds sometimes, and we're present. We're solving problems in the world. There's all this challenge that we're, and that's almost like, I've been in the desert for 75 years and I now am experiencing water for the first time. That's the feeling a guy gets when he connects with that level of, and then when you combine that with someone who can see him, who understands him, that creates a very strong force of attraction, because there's nothing he can do to create that same type of force in his life. Like, there's nothing you can do, even as strong as you are, as the feeling of the grounded guy next to you holding you and saying, it's going to be okay. Like, and as politically incorrect as that might sound, that's just the core of who most of us are. Some people are, I understand there's gender differences and all that, but for the majority of us, whether you were gay or straight, we have a core, and that core will dictate what we really appreciate in a partner. And if your core is more masculine, whether you're a guy or a woman, then you'll appreciate that radiance. If your core is more feminine, you'll appreciate that someone being really present with you and being able to hold space for your radiance to shine more, because you already are radiant, but that presence will allow you to shine more, right? And that's the game. It's a game. It's a dance. So you dance with energy, and you become the best expression of yourself. through giving more of you.
I love that. And then, so that would be great advice to women, right? Is to just express who you are and to just let you radiate through you in energy and create that vibration.
Yes.
It's just is so, like you said, then heads are turning. You don't have to show a bunch of cleavage for that. You just radiate this energy and it's, you know.
There's something about it. There's confidence and beauty, right? So I call it the art of opening and closing. And I call it that because if you just, I'm not oblivious to the fact that if you just open and are a radiant goddess throughout, then you're going to get hurt in some ways. And some guys may want to take advantage of you. So you need to know when to open, when to close. But the reason why I call it the art of opening and closing is because what most human beings, in this specific case, women have done is they have learned the art of closing. That's it. So I'm closed by default and I never open versus I'm open by default and I close when I need to. I think if you start by saying, I want to be as radiant as I can be. And if I see something that's weird, a guy that I don't really want to connect with, I may choose to close my energy a little bit. I may choose, but not I'm closed right now. And when I want to open up myself, then I have to put on some gas and crack the sham. It's like, it's rusty inside. Okay, it's gone. He's gone. You know, like 3 hours later, now I'm feeling good. And he missed an opportunity because it's not something you're doing for him. This will change your life. This will change the way you feel. This will feel the influence you have over everyone around you. It will make you a more fulfilled human being because you're not attempting to do something that you're not. You're being a truer expression of what you have inside. Your gifts are being more utilized.
I love that. And then what advice would you have to the men? Because is there an intimidation? Is there something like the men ask the women out? Like, we want to be asked out. We want the king. We want the masculine. We want, that's what we want. Even like I said, even though to, you know, if our essence is really powerful and energetic and vibrant and that type of thing, it's and capable, but it's still like, I don't want to be king. I want to be queen. I want that masculine energy. I want to be asked out. I want to feel protected. I want to, you know, I want a man that wants to be the protector provider. And I don't know, is it courage? Is it lacking courage? Is it something that...
It's a combination of things. I'd say I would start with the women first, because my belief is that women make the first move. And the first move is not asking him out. The first move is dropping the handkerchief, right? Because if you're not being asked out enough, it has nothing to do with the men around you. It has everything to do with the way they're perceiving you and how open they feel you are. So I would say take it upon yourself to make the first move, which is connect to your radiance. And there's multiple things you can do for that. I mean, you don't have enough time to do it, but just do what you love. Connect to it. Move, dance, sexually connect with yourself. Anything you need to do to be that radiant light. And then when push comes to shove and you're in front of someone who might be interesting to you, make it very clear that you're not going to punch him in the nuts if he approaches you. So, because if you want a psychopath or a super narcissistic dude, don't do anything. And that guy he won't care. He'll still reach out to you. You're talking with your girlfriends. He'll interrupt you. I mean, but the guy who's more compassionate, he's going to need something from you to know that he's not going to walk the walk of shame back to his buddies and saying, yeah, she punched you in the nuts. So be more upfront and more clear that you're interested. You're not saying, I will say yes to you, but you're saying, if you ask me out, I won't hurt you. So if we start with that, then what I would say to the guys is, once you feel that, then be confident enough to know that if she says no, that you're still a stronger man because she said no. Like, you're the guy who actually had the balls to ask her out versus the guy who's 10 years later figuring out if she could have become your wife had you asked her out. So be the kind of guy who still reaches out. Be intelligent about it. Like, if you sense that she's closing as you're approaching and that she's not interested, then say thanks. I mean, don't go out with a thought, is she going to like me? Go out with a thought, will I like her after I connect with her? Is she the type of woman that I want? And if you put it back, and the same thing I'd say to you as a woman, if you want to connect with a guy, say, not, he's great, so will he like me? He appears great, but I wonder if I will like him once we interact. So take it a step back. And then one more thing that I would say is be intentional about it. Like, ask her out. Let her know before she asks you what you want. Ask her, what are you looking for? I mean, imagine if instead of you having to say, well, okay, I'm going to have to take my question list. She says, what are you looking for? Here's what I'm looking for. That already puts you at ease. Or if he's not what you want, that makes you at least appreciate his integrity way more, right? On your side of the field, Christina, what I would say is be vulnerable enough to express what you want. Meaning, I know I can call you, I can text you. I prefer a man who leads. So I'm going to allow you in this process to pursue me. I'm not playing games. I'm not playing hard to catch. I just know that if you want to do this, that I will glow way more when I know that you're taking the intention of doing it. Just point it out to him. Now he can do it or not do it, but that way he at least knows that he's on the right track if he does it. Because guys sometimes are confused. They feel like if they do it, it's pushy. Because some guys show up strong, or even in a kind way, not strong in a needy way, but some women have told them you're too needy because they're showing up that way. So I think if you allow him the permission of here's what I'm expecting, now you can be that or not, he will be more likely to step into it than by maybe by default, or maybe by imagining, is that what she really wants? Be clear about it. Guys really appreciate when you're direct with them. And if you say, dude, I'm looking for someone who's really strong and wants to lead, then great. So where would you like to go the first date? You can choose. Now, if he says, go to my house, watch a Netflix movie, no, okay. Not that kind of choosing, but, you know, there's boundaries within it, right? Because guys also appreciate boundaries. If a guy doesn't know that you have boundaries, he's going to put you in the category, whether he claims it in writing or not, of the woman I fuck versus the woman I share with my mom, right? So if you connect with a guy who is pushing your boundaries and you're clear, don't even like avoid it, just here, I appreciate you for doing that. I feel very honored that you like me enough to propose something like that. It's not that I reject you. I'm just not into that when I don't know you so well. So just don't make it about him. Be clear that you're saying you're cute and everything, and I need to get to know you better before we take that step. Let's go on a trip this weekend to haven't met you, dude. You know?
I love it. Man, this has been so good.
Because the guys have, maybe they're super excited with your radiance. They just need to know that they need to pace themselves.
I love it. Man, you are amazing. Thank you. I have a whole page of notes here. So I love this. Well, we're bumping up against our time together. So I like to complete all of my conversations, my interviews with a little myth busting. So in your work, what do you notice all the time, which is one big myth that people believe to be true that you want to call out that you think is affecting people?
Okay, big myth.
They're sabotaging themselves.
That men are not emotional and that there's not good guys out there. I think that's the biggest myth that most women that I've connected with have believed because of a couple of loud voices and the ones that their friends have connected with. They've developed this thing where there's millions of amazing women, and there's 2-3 good men. It's not true. She's like, are you shining to the level where you can connect with them? I'm not saying it's the majority of men, but there's plenty of guys where you have more than your pick if you want to connect with someone that way.
I love that. Bern, you're so amazing. I can't wait to work with you. And thank you again for being at my event. And I look forward to doing more work with you. And thank you for the work that you do. You're just such passionate, loving energy. And I can see that you love this work and you just want to help people attract and be really great in relationships. Because like I said before, is there anything else that's more important than giving and receiving love in a really healthy, loving relationship, romantic relationship?
Well, thank you so much, Christina, for inviting me. I'm such a fan of your work. And after having seen you in action, and not just the way you interact with like the things that you're teaching, which are really powerful, but the way you connect with everyone around you and your children. Because I gauge how human beings really are, the way they interact with the people who are close to them. And you're such a loving connection with your kids. And they're such amazing in their own right, very different from each other, very amazing human beings that I know you're doing something right. So thank you so much for inviting me. And I'm super excited to know more about your work. Also, I know that Gabby is starting your CURBS program. So I'm super excited about that too.
I'm so excited. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
If you're inspired by today's show and you would like to learn more about my money coaching, here's what I need you to do. Head over to christina.com/call. That's KRISSTINA.com/call and book an appointment to speak with me. In less than 30 minutes, we will get absolutely clear on why you're not earning enough no matter how hard you work, why you can never get ahead no matter how much you earn, and what you need to know in order to finally have the time and money freedom you're working so hard for. Remember, you're not alone. 95% of Americans are one life event away from financial crisis. I will be the first person to teach you why this is the case and how to be in the other 5% that has no fear around money. No one can do this alone. You need expert help. I've helped everyone from modest earning professionals to those earning eight figures per year get off the financial hamster wheel and finally win the money game. I look forward to helping you too. Head over to christina.com/call and book your call with me today. I'm Christina Wise. Thank you for spending your valuable attention with me today. We will meet again soon.